We are back. Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Started having a little bit of an IFB issue. My bad. Field Yates and Matthew Berry hanging out with you for day two of the 2020 Fantasy Focus Football Podcast season. We had a fun day yesterday. We actually did not get fired after our first show.
Which, I mean, you know, the unders took a beating on that, which I would have, including me, like I had myself, you know, being dismissed after an hour live.
I mean, there were still some wonders about whether you'd show up here to work today. I mean, not being fired, but just whether you'd show up.
Fair. All very fair. Did you start the show by saying my bad?
Yeah, I did, because Daniel was pointing at me going like, go, because
Secret Squirrel, in the 6 years that Field Yates and I have done the Fantasy Focus 0601 together, is that the first mistake Field has made? I actually think that might be.
No. I think the first mistake was taking the job.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Try the deal.
Hey.
I was going to say, that was NBA season is back in full force. Daniel looking like LeBron to AD over here in the Fantasy Focus podcast.
Yeah, my Lakers number one in the West, baby.
That's right. Congratulations to them. Look forward to taking them down in the finals. We should have a little friendly wager if it is indeed the Celtics and the Lakers. I have some doubts about whether the Celtics will make it that far. Today on the show, a reminder for those that maybe missed the show yesterday, you can always live stream us on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and the ESPN app. Basically anywhere that you have a streaming service, we're likely available. Perhaps we'll even be available in more services at some point down the line. Stefania will be joining us a little bit later on in the show remotely, as of course we continue to deal with the COVID guidelines that have been put in place for ESPN and frankly the entire world. We got an exciting show today. You know what we're doing today?
I do not. I don't read the pre-show meeting.
I had a feeling you were going
to
say that.
I don't go to it. I don't read the note. What are we doing today?
We're doing Double Trouble today, and I'm sure that makes you absolutely thrilled to hear. Double Trouble, for those unfamiliar, which you probably know what it is, but in case you're a new audience member, maybe you started in the middle of last season. During the preseason, we go through every NFL team. We go usually two teams a day, and I think we'll have plenty of time to go two teams a day because there are no preseason games. There's going to be less, you know, training camp play-by-play, so we'll have plenty of time to discuss.
There's like 14 days of padded practices, right? Isn't it something like
that? It doesn't start until August 17th, so and a lot of that will end up being teams have the ability to put on pads and might not even put on pads because they're trying to preserve for the season ahead. So we'll have plenty of time.
How many NFL teams do you, like, I'm sure they have like the sanitizing the pads guy.
Yeah.
Right. How many sanitizing the pads guys per team do you think they have?
I don't
like how do you like, so 53 man rosters, but in a training camp it's got to be like 90 guys, right?
It is 80 players or 90, depending on, almost every NFL team has elected to reduce their rosters to 80 players, so you can practice in one big group.
Sure.
If you have 90 players, you have to practice in split squad orientation, which as far as I know, and there are, I'm sure there are others, the only one that I've caught so far is the Lions are doing the 90-man roster with the split squad. And we are going to be talking about the Lions in just a little bit.
Look at that segue.
How about that on today's mid-season
segue.
So let's get right to it. Let's start with the Green Bay Packers instead, not because they're more important than the Lions, just because we have it scripted that way. And Matthew?
Yes, sir.
Aaron Rodgers is one of the all-time greats. Truly
really
one
is.
Of the all-time greats and one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. There's at least a case, right? Some people believe, I think Ryan Clark might be one amongst those people that feel this way, that in terms of pure talent, he is the most talented quarterback that he ever played against. Not the most accomplished, and there are others that are greater in terms of their NFL stature. Tom Brady, to me, the unquestioned GOAT. But maybe the most talented player he played against was
Aaron Rodgers. Is a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers is a first-ballot Hall of Famer, should be unanimous, one of, if not the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and I'm with you, I Brady would be my guy there too. But, you know, Brady, Manning, Montana, Rodgers, like eventually Mahomes, like it ain't a long list.
Correct.
You know, as the late great Bum Phillips used to say, like, he may not be in a class by himself, but it don't take long to call the roll.
I like that.
So, yeah, that's what we're referring to. Earl Campbell, that was the late great Bum Phillips.
Sure,
talking about that.
Love you, Blue.
Love you, Blue. So, anyway, so yeah, we all agree. Aaron Rodgers is a bad, bad man.
To quote the great Stephen A. Correct.
Correct.
Now,
but
we use that long, probably too long, lead in.
Yes, sir.
To get to this question,
what we do.
That's what we do. We're just teasing things. We get to this question.
Yes, sir.
Is Aaron Rodgers, in all of his perpetual greatness, still a top 10 fantasy quarterback? Or phrased differently, would you be drafting Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback in your league this year? Again, default settings in ESPN are 10 teams. So is he a starter this year?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Yeah, it's a no for me. And understand, like, if Aaron Rodgers sees this clip, he'll go out and throw for 5,000 yards. Like, Aaron Rodgers is like a guy that gets motivated. But understand this. So last year, this is a guy who had 9 different finishes as QB 20 or worse in 2019. His completion percentage has gone down for 4 straight seasons. And last year, 46 red zone completions. That was great, right? That was great. And yet still finished outside the top 10 of fantasy court. Played the entire season. He was healthy. Finished as QB 13.
Yeah.
And here's the big thing about what Aaron Rodgers did last year. The Packers were good. The Packers were a game away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
So Matt LaFleur came in and said, we want to run the ball more. We want to play more controlled. Their defense got better as well. So they weren't getting into crazy shootouts. They played much more controlled offense, controlled football. They gave it to Aaron Jones a lot when they got in close. Aaron Rodgers finishes his QB 13 last year, and it all worked. They were a game away from the Super Bowl. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, if you're Matt LaFleur, why are you changing anything, right? Why are you suddenly going to let him sling it a lot? They want to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy. They have Super Bowl, legitimate Super Bowl aspirations.
So you're right in everything you've said. But for me, this is actually not about Aaron Rodgers. Okay. It's about the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL. So when we're looking at the ingredients that make up a really successful fantasy football quarterback, we've got a class of guys like Mahomes and Watson and Wilson and Jackson that, those guys at the height of their powers, I would think, are at least very close to it with so many talented guys around them. I mean, I might be able to throw for 20 touchdowns if I were the Chiefs quarterback, not to take away from Mahomes. But the point is, they're loaded, right? I mean,
Matt Moore could.
Right, that's a good point.
Matt Moore, who might be close to my age.
Yes,
right.
Correct. And then other quarterbacks who play on teams where the defense is really bad, and they happen to not just be high-volume passers, but also efficient runners. You had this stat in your 100 Facts column, I believe, that last year, 9 of the top 10 scoring quarterbacks rushed for at least 200 yards, right?
Correct, yeah.
So let's spin this forward now. There are enough quarterbacks that are an elite, elite tier, right? The players I mentioned, plus a few others. Plus, you've got enough guys like Daniel Jones, who we referenced yesterday. Guys who maybe even Gardner Minshew, right? That Jacksonville defense is not going to be great. I don't have Minshew ahead of Rodgers on my rankings, but it's at least close, right? You've got enough quarterbacks, bad defenses. They're good runners. They're going to have to throw because they're going to be behind. That Aaron Rodgers has the formula working against him now.
Right. And you start thinking about do these rankings. Like I am at QB 16.
Yep.
And you're like, whoa, Aaron Rodgers at QB 16. Right. I mean, that's crazy low. And then you start looking at the 15 guys I got ahead of him and like, tell me who you put ahead of him. Tell me who you're putting him ahead of Matt Ryan, who has all the weapons.
You're
putting him ahead of Carson Wentz, who, by the way, on a per-game basis was much better than Aaron Rodgers last year
right.
and should have a lot healthier weapons around him this year. Right? And so you just sort of go down the list and you're like, well, no, you're not doing him. No. I like Daniel Jones better. In terms of the guys that there are some question marks, in terms of the veterans where there are question marks, how about Ben Roethlisberger, who, by the way, the last time we saw him healthy was a top-5 fantasy quarterback. And we know the Steelers are going to throw. So, listen, Aaron Rodgers is a fantastic NFL quarterback. And I did see this stat on Twitter that he was left off the NFL top. The NFL did their top 100 players, and he was outside the top 10.
Right. I think first time ever, right?
No. It's happened three times.
That's right.
It's happened two other times that it did. He won the MVP the following year.
All right.
I mean, listen, he is a guy that gets motivated. He's similar to Jordan in that way, right? He finds a slight, and he uses it to motivate him. So I don't think he cares about fantasy, but maybe off of the year last year where he had a down statistical year. Maybe he motivates, but honestly, he just doesn't run enough. Other than Davante Adams, there's not a lot that you feel confident about in the passing game. We're going to get to that here in a second. Yeah, I have him outside my top 10, very comfortable. I think he's a lower tier QB2. Honestly, he obviously has tremendous upside, but yeah, he won't be on a lot of my teams this year.
If we get freezing cold taked because of this, 5 months from now, I think it's actually a good thing. You know why?
Why is that?
That's great pub for the show. We need the views, baby. Let's talk about Aaron Jones, the other Aaron in this Packers offense, who last year...
The easiest thing, and I will just say, the easiest thing in the world is to you know, hindsight's 2020.
Of course.
That's the easiest thing in the world.
No doubt. You know who loved Lamar Jackson as the number one player in fantasy going into last season? Yeah, nobody.
Right.
Literally nobody had him as the number one player. So anyways, we digress.
A couple people on Twitter claim they did.
Oh, of course. Aaron Jones, anyway. The other Aaron in the Packers offense, had an incredible season last year. He finished as RB3, nearly 20 points per game. And yet, there's some concerns here, Matthew. Well, Aaron Jones, even being RB1 this year, again, a top 10 running back this season, when you factor in the potential for regression.
I think so. Because here's he scored 16 touchdowns.
Right.
We all agree that the likely, you know, I always talk about this, you know, what's most likely to happen.
Yeah.
Right? My draft day manifesto is coming out soon. It's going to mention that as well. What's most likely to happen? That's always a key component, right? And what's most likely to happen from a guy that scored 16 rushing touchdowns, right? The last time a running back scored 16 rushing touchdowns and scored 16 or more the following season, you have to go back to like 2005, 2006.
Wow.
Priest Holmes, LaDainian Tomlinson. Like that.
Right.
So what's most likely to happen is that there's going to be touchdown regression for both Aaron Jones and Derrick Henry, both of whom had 16 rushing touchdowns last year. Okay. This is the argument we made with Mahomes last year, though. Aaron Jones can regress and still be a very viable fantasy running back.
Right.
Aaron Jones scores 12 touchdowns this year. He scores 10 touchdowns this year. He's still going to be pretty viable, right? I mean, so look, the concern here is that 45% of Aaron Jones's points last year came on touchdowns.
Right.
That was a big part of it. Having said that, I think given what I think the Packers offense will do this year, I think Aaron Jones is a borderline RB1. Like he was the third best running back in fantasy last year.
Right. So,
So I mean, like I have him ranked 10th. You do as well. Daniel hates him at 12.
Right. Accurate.
Is it because he's a Packer? He's against your Lions?
No, I just think between the regression and I think that Aaron Rodgers doing what it is that he's... I'm not huge on Aaron Rodgers this year, so I think from an offensive perspective, I just think that there's less touchdowns and also the drafting of A.J. Dillon in the second round. Like,
yeah,
I realize
you highlighted a few of the key factors here.
Yeah, right? I mean, Jamal Williams, like there's still more running backs.
Yeah, we've got a talented running back room. He's not going to have it by himself. And oh, by the way, he never has. He's played now for 3 seasons.
Yep.
He has carried the football more than 15 times... 10 games in his 3-year career. Think about that. Okay. So that to me...
Free Aaron Jones. Right. That's why we started the hashtag, Field. Free Aaron Jones. Give this guy the rock.
And I'm not going to say that last year was not a remarkable season start to finish, but just... And I know that we can do this with every player, and it would paint a different picture of their overall season. But if you take away, like, that 4-touchdown game against Dallas for last year, and you take away, like, one of his next best games, his season, you know, is going to look a little bit less... comparable to the Christian McCaffrey and the Saquon Barkleys and the Ezekiel Elliotts and Dalvin Cooks, who are, by the way, the only players being drafted ahead of him, because right now, in terms of average draft position, Aaron Jones is going 7th amongst running backs ahead of Nick Chubb and Kenyon Drake, who Kenyon Drake especially, I think, maybe is even being undervalued right now because he looks like the unquestioned workhorse in his backfield.
Kenyon Drake makes me a little nervous. We'll get to that when we get to Arizona.
That's fair.
You know, that draft I did yesterday, I had a chance at Kenyon Drake. Passed on him for Aaron Jones. Now, it's a half-point PPR, and it's a best ball league, so there's
well, along those lines, and I totally get it, right?
Yeah.
You think everybody listening to the show knows what a best ball league is?
We've explained it a couple times.
A few times.
I always feel like the first few shows, we should maybe rehash a few
for people
terms.
That have never played best ball, it is, and there's a number of places that offer it now. It's really fun. It's highly recommended. But that... best ball, in essence, basically, you draft a team, and then that's it. And then in the regular season, no trades, no waivers, nothing. In the regular season, your best possible starting lineup, after the games, like Tuesday morning, after all the games are done, your best possible starting lineup is placed for you, as is everyone else in the league. So it's, you know, similar to sort of like if you play golf, like, you know, best ball in golf, anything like that, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of what best ball is, and so... Aaron Jones, and hopefully no one in my league is listening to this podcast right now, but like my plan is I think I'll be able to get Jamal Williams cheap in this league, and again, half point PPR doesn't hurt Jones as much as some of the other running backs, and so anyway, I went with Jones over Kenyon Drake, and we'll see if that turns out to be a mistake.
I would have done the same, but for what it's worth.
Thank you.
Devontae Adams. We don't need to tell you about how good of a receiver he is. Devontae Adams, really, really talented, right? I mean, guy's a stud. Guy shows up to work and basically is good for double-digit fantasy points every single week. Across the board, Matthew at 2, me at 3, Daniel at 5 amongst wide receivers. The question is not whether he's amongst the best receivers in fantasy football this year. I think the question for Devontae Adams is, let's say you're playing in the 10-team fantasy league. As we start to look at the players that are going to go in those first top 10 picks, does Devontae Adams belong in the first round? If you had pick 9 or 10, Matthew, let's say back into the first round, is Devontae Adams on your radar? Is it a little bit too early?
He's certainly on my radar, but given the depth of, I mean, this, I had this exact same thing in the scenario. Again, it's a half point PPR, which I think hurts Adams somewhat, but I think he's outside my top 10. Now, if you draft Devontae Adams in the first round, you're not losing your league.
Of course not.
That's going to have a monster season. He is my number 2, and if Devontae Adams finishes the year as the number 1 wide receiver in fantasy, I don't think that's going to shock anyone.
Nope.
He's got that kind of talent. He's got that kind of quarterback. He's going to have that kind of target share. The concern is again, like, do some mock drafts. Like, I would rather a workhorse running back, at the end of the first round, a Joe Mixon, a Josh Jacobs, a
Kenyon Drake,
a Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, one of those types.
Yeah.
I would rather one of those types. And then even go running, like, I'll give you an example. So in this league, this 12-team league, I went running back. My first two picks were Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones.
Okay.
Half point PPR, right? Came back around, and I just did my third and fourth round picks. And again, I went a little upside because it's a best ball, and it's a 12-team expert league, quote-unquote expert league. But Adam Thielen and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I don't understand. Did our invites get lost? Like, why would they? How did you get it?
I think they got lost.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. It's a damn folder.
Is that what
check it. Oh, yeah. Folder. I'll check. Yeah, we'll check.
It might have been a junk folder.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's what happened.
We digress.
They may have said, like, we can't get a hold of Daniel and Field.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Can you mind slumming with us? Mike Clay
They probably reach out to Kyle on our behalf.
Yes.
Bunker, cell issues.
That was a hard thing.
Totally get it.
That makes sense. So my two wide receivers that I wound up with were Adam Thielen and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Right.
And Odell Beckham Jr. was there as well. I mean, like...
And this just comes down to...
Mike
you
Evans
the inverse,
went a pick
right?
before me. Like, I'm just like... I would rather... My point is that there's... By the way, there's a decent chance that Adams will be there on the second go-around. But if you don't, Julio will be there. Or Tyreek Hill will be there. Like...
The problem is this. So I think if you were to just play that scenario out in reverse, and let's say that you had gone let's say you'd gone Devontae Adams and then maybe Chris Godwin
with your
first two picks, you might end up with, and these guys are going to be good players, but like Raheem Mostert and Mark Ingram as your running backs in rounds 3 and 4. And not that they can't be great, but there is much less certainty with those players at their position than Adam Thielen and who was your second wide receiver? Mike Evans?
Juju.
Like I think you like the certainty. And maybe Juju's a little bit more of a debate. But still, the point is, we should just
Juju was going as a top 5 pick last year.
Crazy.
I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, so again, like we'll see if Ben healthy and Juju had issues last year as well. But like we're forgetting what Juju has done and, you know, fantasy players have short memories, unfortunately, and so we forget about that. And so, look, those two guys, again, I was going a little upside here, but Juju and Adam Thielen are two guys that are going to be massive target monsters, assuming health on their team.
So to bring this all the way back full circle to Devontae Adams, because that was the heart of the question here, is that Devontae Adams, no issue whatsoever. If you take him somewhere between, I would say, pick 7 to 10 in the first round, no problem with that whatsoever. The guy is incredible. At least 16 fantasy points in 28 of his past 33 games. That's 85% of his last 33 games the guy has delivered excellent return. That's not the point.
Thirsty Kyle found this stat, which I think is great. Only 5 wide receivers last year had at least 8 games of 7 catches, right?
Yep.
Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Julian Edelman, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams missed 4 games.
Right. So he's a stud. There is zero issue of taking him in the first round late. This is much more of the philosophical debate that we'll continue to highlight all preseason as it pertains to drafting. There are so many wide receivers, you're going to want to probably lean towards running backs, all things being equal, in the first round of your draft.
Hey, before we move on, I just want to clean up one thing. I misspoke a stat.
Number 4.
Someone else should have interrupted. Thirsty Kyle should have interrupted. This one's on Thirsty Kyle, which is, I got the stat wrong. It was
Hold on.
Hang on. Yeah.
We got the stat. Someone should have interrupted because you did your job wrong. So,
correct.
So we're at fault because you did not read the paper.
1,000%.
I just want to make sure I was clear on how everything was. Okay, good. You can go ahead.
Guys, listen. You and Thirsty Kyle knew what you were signing
up
for.
Right, that's fair.
Matt Harrington knew what he was signing up for. Do you understand? Field knew what he was signing up for. Field got suckered in. But everyone else knew what they were
signing
up
for. Everyone else knew. Field definitely.
1,000%.
Yeah.
So at any rate, the point is that it was LaDainian Tomlinson and Larry Johnson, not Priest Holmes.
You know,
last running backs who get 16 rushing touchdowns in consecutive seasons.
I just got to tell you, of all the things that somebody on the internet was going to fact check you on, I feel like that was probably pretty low on the list.
No,
right?
I want to, like, I'm trying to be factually correct. If I can get it right,
done.
If I can correct it, I'm going to correct it.
So I know. I appreciate the effort there.
Yeah, but yes, no. Thirsty Kyle had the stat right. I screwed up the read of it.
I mean, he also sent me this awesome, great graphic of the point that I was making about Aaron Jones. And so if I'm sitting here like, why is Field so distracted during the show? I'm trying to read a small Excel sheet. My bad. The point is that if Aaron Jones did have his top two games removed, he would see quite a bit of a spike downward in his points per game value. Anyways, back to the question.
True. That's true with most.
I know, but it relative to, I'm looking at the thing right here. Like, he had one of the bigger drop-offs. Kyle says he wants about. Yeah, you know what?
What, Kyle? Dawson, what do you got? Go ahead.
Yeah.
What do you got? Where's your saltines?
They're right here. I got them. I got
me some food.
Yeah, right. We're good.
Sustenance.
I'm going to make it through the season, I think. But right. If you remove Aaron Jones's top two games, and then you did that for all 100 of the top flex players, he goes from 4 to 11. So he falls 7 spots in the per game ranks if you remove his two biggest games. So it's somewhat significant when you're talking to a guy that was 4 to 11.
McCaffrey will be 0. Michael Thomas will be 0.
That's what we're ranking him this year.
But exactly. That's baked in.
Yeah.
Like, he was running back 3 last year. I
was helping to make the point.
Yeah.
I was helping to make the point. I was just trying to.
I have him at 12 to make the 11.
Here. Virtual.
COVID bump.
Yeah, COVID bump.
All right. So Davante Adams, we have established a stud. But let's talk about the other Packers pass catchers. Because for a while now, basically since the height of Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb playing together, we've always had this idea that in Green Bay offense, we want to have two pass catchers that carry value because Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. But is there a pass catcher who's not named Davante Adams who has value, Matthew? And I want to be clear about this because I think sometimes we fall into this trap. It's only human. When I say has some value, I don't mean like if a lot of things break right, this guy could creep into weekly flex consideration. I mean, is there a player that the information you have right now, which I don't think will change all that much over the next month because there are no preseason games and there's going to be very little reporting from training camp practices, that you are going to make a legitimate investment in your drafts?
Define legitimate investment.
I mean, yeah, other, like, you know, something more than just like, hey, he's the player that on occasion I draft with my 16th rounder because
No, I mean, there are later wide receivers so deep. There are later round wide receivers that I like more than Alan Lazard. But if you're asking me, pick a wide receiver for the Packers that you prefer, you know, give me a non Davante Adams Packers wide receiver to draft, it's Alan Lazard. Right. To me, I think he is the number two guy. I think there is some upside there. We have seen the number two wide receiver in a Green Bay offense under Aaron Rodgers have, you know, you've mentioned Jordy Nelson, you've mentioned Randall Cobb. Yep. Davante Adams back in the day when he was number two to Jordy.
He was the Robin, yep.
So we have seen that over the years. Last year was the first year that didn't happen, and there were flashes, like Geronimo Allison would have a moment here, you know. There were different guys that would sort of peek in here and there, but Alan Lazard sort of came on towards the end of last year. This is all sort of like, you know, very narrative street kind of stuff, but supposedly Rodgers and Lazard very close.
And he's been effusive in his praise for him.
He's been effusive publicly in his praise for Alan Lazard. He has talked about the fact that he had to lobby to get Lazard off of special teams and onto the field for plays. Supposedly they spent Thanksgiving together last year, spent some time together in the offseason as well. So that goes a long way. Having said that, again, it's a run first offense these days, and we've just talked down Aaron Rodgers, but in deeper leagues, I've taken a flyer on Alan Lazard, but I mean, you and I both have him. I have him at 60. I'm the highest on him. Right. I mean, you have him at 68. Dop has him at 62. So, I mean, I don't know where Mike has him. Where's Mike Clay have him? But I mean, like, he probably has him somewhere in that range as well.
I can't imagine it's much higher than that if it is higher at all. So this is that's the point I wanted to make, is that I do feel like sometimes during the preseason, when no games have been played and anything is possible, sometimes it's easy to be like, yeah, you know, Alan Lazard could be the guy that steps into a number two role and is really good this year in fantasy football. It's possible. Of course it's possible. However, whether that actually happens, like we are all, based off of our preseason rankings, suggesting that there are a lot more players that are far more likely to yield fantasy value to you. Last one here. Do you want to mention Jace Sternberger?
Yes, I do.
You believe?
I do believe. Giga Maggies.
Okay.
Giga Maggies.
How much do you believe?
What does believe mean?
Well, first off, I believe he exists.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I'm a Jace Sternberger denier. I really am.
Mr. Bunny, Santa Claus, Jace Sternberger, the three things we've debated for many years about their existence. Yeah.
Look, I have him as a top 25 tight end. So he's obviously a late round guy. And understand, fighting against him is the fact that we didn't see very much of him last year.
Yep.
And Michael Finley is literally the last top 10 fantasy tight end that Aaron Rodgers has had, right? I mean, you know, remember people, and I've beaten this drum for a long, long time. I remember when Jared Cook went there. He's never had a tight end as good as Jared Cook. Didn't happen, right? You know, there's been a number, Jimmy Graham. He's never had a tight end as good as Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham didn't do anything there. Like, there have been some insanely talented tight ends that have gone to Green Bay and have left with no fantasy value. Having said that, I am somebody who grew up in College Station, Texas. My father is still a professor at Texas A&M University. I watch a lot of Texas A&M football. And I don't get a chance to watch a lot of college football during the season because we do so much NFL. Jace Sternberger is a special player. And they have no one else. So, they're going to be looking for pass catchers. And I know that, you know, it's all off-season talk. But we have heard Matt LaFleur and other members of the Packers coaching staff and front office talk up Sternberger. He's going to get an opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, if I have a tight end 24.
Yeah, I'm going to leave
as a late round tight end flyer. Yeah. I like Jace Sternberger. Okay. I like the talent.
Will it
manifest itself? I don't know, but I like the talent of the kid.
This is one where I'm saying to you, like, if I'm listening, I'm saying I'm not bothering with Jace Sternberger.
No.
Right? Like 24, like you're not taking two tight ends. We talked about that yesterday. Like in general, you're not taking two tight ends. Like, I hope if he does break out, we will accommodate the analysis as a result of that. But going into the season, I am saying that like it's hard for me to make an investment in Jace Sternberger.
Understand that what we are saying, it's just like only one tight end, that kind of thing. But if you bail on one of the early tight ends, you may want two or something like that.
Sure, fair enough.
People that listen to us that are in deeper leagues, that are in tight end premium leagues, you and I both competed, and so did Daniel. We both just did in the Scott Fish Bowl, which is a tight end premium and super deep.
Sort of the other way this year, right? The scoring makes it actually like less tight end favorable this year.
You get an extra point. I mean, anyway, we don't want to derail debating Scott Fish scoring, but it's a very unique system. But merely just saying that you get extra points for receptions by tight ends in that scoring system. I drafted Jace Sternberger on my team in that league.
Right. Well, there's also 22 rounds in that.
Correct.
League,
so. Yeah, that's the thing. So I'm saying in a deeper league, if you're looking for a deeper tight end flyer name, I like Jace Sternberger more than some of the other guys in that level.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com today, or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
All right, Field Yates, it is time now to go away from Kyle's little bunker and our little studio to the palatial estate of Starfanya Bell. Starfanya, how are you, my friend, today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm chuckling at palatial estate.
It is palatial. It is like you can't get close to it. There are guard dogs. There's a moat. Yep. I've tried to visit her. Like it's a whole thing. There's like
dog.
A security, and then you've got there's a retina scan to get in there. And there's like a bunch of different servants, and she's got a lot of things going on there. Stefania.
I think you're projecting.
Am I?
Matthew actually has a moat. You have a moat at your house.
That is accurate. Matthew actually does have a moat and a bridge over the moat.
It's not a moat. There is a little bridge.
It's not a drawbridge. Yeah, it's a regular bridge. It's not a drawbridge. Like, let's not get crazy.
Bridge. Just a little bridge.
It's a little bridge. It's just a little bridge. We have a little creek. We need a bridge to get over it.
You know what I have in my house? I have a little closet.
A tiny closet.
Yeah, just a tiny little closet right there.
I got nothing for this. Let's move on to Starfanya.
Don't make me laugh.
What are you going to do? Hey, Stefania, we're so really curious here because we just finished talking about Jace Sternberger, the Packers' second-year tight end, and he has been placed on the COVID-19 list as of Thursday. And I'm just curious, just in general, not specific to Jace Sternberger, but would you, Stefania Bell, in the many drafts you're going to do, are you drafting anyone that's been on the COVID-19 list?
Here's the thing. Just to reiterate, we talked about this yesterday. When someone's placed on the reserved COVID-19 list, we do not know if that means they have in fact tested positive themselves for COVID-19 or if they've been exposed to somebody who's tested positive for COVID-19 and are therefore being quarantined and monitored as a result. So you don't know the individual health status of the player unless at some point the player chooses to share that information with the media. If I have someone who has tested positive, players shared that, and they've shared how they're feeling, then I would have to evaluate that situation individually. You know, we've seen some players talk about it. You remember Ezekiel Elliott tested positive before teams gathered together, and he shared some of how he felt. If I'm hearing about a player's health, then I can better evaluate the situation. If I don't know, it becomes more of a question mark for me, to be honest, because we've seen that there's a wide range of symptoms from asymptomatic to something more serious. So it's a case-by-case basis. I'm not making a flat rule for players who are on that list right now. Certainly, if I'm drafting late in the season, we're getting near the start of the year, and they're still on the list, I'd be more concerned.
I appreciate that, Stefan. It sounds good. We will obviously... This is a topic that you're going to be covering for the entire season, no doubt. Hey, we're moving on to Detroit. It's Double Trouble now, and Daniel's beloved Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford. You know, Stafford was having a career year last year before a back injury ended his season in November. He was medically cleared in April. Just want to be curious, your thoughts on Matthew Stafford this year. Are you comfortable having him as a fantasy starter for your team this year, Starfanya?
So just to pick up where we left off, Matthew Stafford was added to the reserve COVID-19 list. So that actually becomes a factor in terms of evaluating his health. Will he be cleared? Will he return to practice, et cetera? But then moving on to the musculoskeletal issue, which is his back. Look, last year, as you said, he was having a career year. And prior to that, 8 straight seasons without a missed start. And this is a guy who will play through anything. You know, we've seen him play through finger injuries, hip injuries, etc. But last year when he had the fractures in his back, it was really the medical staff that pulled him out. You know, he was playing hurt for a while, but ultimately they said, look, we want to shut you down. They were concerned about his long-term health. And I think given the fact that he had all this extra time to heal, because they shut him down fairly quickly, as you noted, he was cleared in April. I'm not worried about that issue carrying over into this year.
All right, great. Thank you, Stefania. We're going to check back in with you in a little bit about some other Detroit Lions players. But first, Field.
Let's talk about Matthew Stafford.
Let's talk about Matthew Stafford here for a second. To me, he is one of the craziest players to rank and evaluate this year. This is a guy who last year was the 6th best quarterback in fantasy, both on a points per game basis and total points before the injury.
Yep.
He was an absolute monster. And none of that made sense because the year before in 2018, he had been super dink and dunk. And then all of a sudden, he's airing it out with supposedly a run-first offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, nothing about the Lions season last year, especially offensively, made sense to me. So when he was healthy last year, he was a monster. But that went away was from sort of what Stafford had been for a lot of his career. What do we do with Matthew Stafford this year?
So I'm a little nervous about one thing. And by the way, like, love the player.
Sure.
And Stefania's health report was encouraging. And you mentioned how much more aired out he was last season. To illustrate that stat, he was actually number one in the NFL in air yards per attempt last year amongst players with at least 200 passing attempts. In the year before, he ranked 32nd out of 33. So, massive change in the way that he played football last year, or at least the offense played football last year. Do we think they're like? But some of that was also, this is a team that was struggling. They were down in the dumps. They were playing poor defense all last year. As we know, a lot of pieces that were square pegs and round holes last year. Do we think there's enough defensive improvement this year that the Lions aren't rallying every single Sunday? Like, are they going to be good enough on defense this year that some of those opportunities go away that makes an impact? Because other than that, Matthew, I think he probably is a player that is going to be an exceptional value because we have him right across the board, QB 15. His ADP is QB 13. He could end up being, like, why can't he be, again, a top 8 quarterback this year, play 16 games? Why not?
He absolutely could be. If you want to talk down the negative of Matthew Stafford, right, yep, it's that, first off, to your point that we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't run.
Doesn't run.
I mean, there's not a guy, and there's a lot more, again, like we talk about, like, you know, not only the obvious guys, right, the Lamar Jackson of the world, but, like, you know, Kyler Murray and Josh Allen, and, you know, we're seeing more and more guys, like, you know, even Patrick Mahomes, we had two different games where we had over 50 rushing yards last year. So we're seeing more and more guys adding value with their legs, and Stafford's just not going to be one of those guys.
Yep, agreed.
So there's that. There's also depth, right? Like, he's got Kenny Galladay. He's got Marvin Jones. And then,
yeah, I mean, Danny Amendola,
TJ Hawkinson. Like, sure, I mean, like, yeah. Like, there's not a lot of depth around him if anything were to happen in a season which, you know, again, Kenny Galladay is also on the COVID-19 list, right? Right. I mean, like, so...
Yeah. Geronimo Allison also recently opted out of the seat. Not that it's sort of depth, but just
but
one
it's
less...
Just like, I'm just saying, yeah, there are other teams where if something happened to one of their big wide receivers, you feel better about that team than you do the Lions. So that's another concern here. Why don't we turn to Daniel Dopp, who's doing his best Matt Patricia impression today. Just put a pencil behind your... Can you put a pencil behind your ear? There you go. You're Matt Patricia right now.
Well, you know... Yeah, guys. Look, it's been a tough run game. We're getting out there. We drafted DeAndre Swift. We're going to make sure we get him involved. Obviously, Darrell Bevell did a great job. A little more pass heavy last year than we thought under that Darrell Bevell offense, right, guys?
Yeah. I mean, the attention to detail to have the eraser coming out as opposed to the eraser tucked behind your head. Daniel, you are a lifelong, and you are loyal to the soil when it comes to the Lions. So,
but what do you have him? You have Matthew. You own a Matthew Stafford jersey.
I do,
and you are a lifelong Detroit Lions fan.
I am.
You have.
He's been to a Matthew Stafford garage sale before.
That's accurate.
Yeah,
I love Matthew Stafford. However, in fantasy, everything that I saw last year before his back injury looked fantastic. Points per game basis, he crushed it. I don't know. Is there anything wrong in just saying, like, I've watched the Lions play for 20 years, so, like, I'm a little bit pessimistic until I see it happen? Like,
I think this comes back down to a little bit what we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, though, is that simply there are a lot of quarterbacks who have a lot of things going in their favor this year.
Yeah.
That they don't need as many things to stay on track to maintain that value as perhaps Matthew Stafford does, right? So Matt Ryan is a good comp. Matt Ryan, in terms of athletic ability, both guys who are not runners but can run, so they might pick up 150 rushing yards a year in a good year, right?
Right.
But Matt Ryan has better and deeper weapons, I would say, right? Sorry, I think that's probably a pretty fair statement.
Yeah.
Beyond that, like, Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan, I think, have sort of comparable defensive questions that, hey, like, how are you supposed to separate someone like Matthew Stafford from a Matt Ryan, from maybe even a Carson Wentz, right? I mean, he's got better running ability, but probably inferior weapons unless things break really right. So they're all kind of part of this territory that, yeah, it's if I left the draft and I was so ridiculously patient on quarterback that Matthew Stafford was the best available player, I'm going into my season feeling fine. But he's also not a quarterback that if I am creating a target list of the top 10 to 12, he's not on my top 10 to 12 target list, which is why we have him ranked 15.
I think that's fair. And I think he's like, you know what he is? He's like, I would put him in the same, Matt Ryan is a good comp. Carson Wentz, I think, Drew Brees. I think they're all like...
I think Brees I'm a little more confident in. The ceiling's really high on Brees. He reminds me of where Andy Dalton was for a lot of years in fantasy football. He was rarely the quarterback that you were targeting, but if you had him throughout the season, he probably wasn't the reason you lost your year or you didn't win your championship.
Yeah, exactly. He is fine. He's going to be an above-average fantasy football quarterback this year, but, and I'm saying this even though he was a top-six quarterback last year, it's unlikely to me that he winds up the year, you know, inside the top five. Like, he's going to wind up somewhere between 8 and 12. You know, like, he's fine. But, like, Ben Roethlisberger is going around him. Like, Ben Roethlisberger could be a top five fantasy quarterback if everything breaks right. We've seen it before. Like, 2018, he was a top five fantasy quarterback. So, anyway, just...
Let's move forward then.
Yeah, but...
We kind of get it. I think
but
people I, get
but
where
I,
we're
I've said
leaving.
It. Like, he is, to me, he's one of the hardest players to rank this year.
I would say that's fair. Another one that's tricky is, which Lions running back do you want on your roster? As a reminder to people, they used the 35th overall pick in this year's draft on DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. And this is one of my favorite stats. You think about all the great running backs that have come from Georgia. And I'm not just talking about recently, but recently, you've got Nick Chubb. Good player, right? Really good player.
He is.
Sony Michel, who had an awesome rookie postseason. We'll see what he makes of his NFL career.
Yep.
Todd Gurley, I mean, one of the greats.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've seen some studs.
Going out of Georgia, yeah.
No Sean Moreno.
Yeah, sure.
Remember, like, we've had a lot of really, really good players. You know who leads Georgia in terms of career yards per carry?
I'm going to guess, since we're in the Lions, that it's DeAndre Swift.
Well done! How did I lead you down that road? I must have led you down that road just
a
little bit.
Too many breadcrumbs there. This one's a really tough one. This one is a really, really tough one. So, you know, look, here's the thing. Matt Patricia, and this is one of the reasons why I was somewhat down on Kerryon Johnson going into last year relative to where he was going. Matt Patricia comes from the Bill Belichick school. Matt Patricia come, as does Bob Quinn. I mean, they, you know, they're both former Patriot guys, you know, the Patriot way. And the Patriot way is, like, multiple running backs. Like, you know, Belichick has, throughout his career, been, like, a multiple running back guy. And we've seen that so far in Detroit. And that's my expectation here, is that it's going to be DeAndre Swift. It's going to be Kerryon Johnson, you know, and they'll... You know, they'll add, whether it's LeGarrette Blount or somebody, they'll add like some guys like that. You know what I mean? Like they'll add a veteran.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm a little bit more optimistic on DeAndre Swift, even though my ranking is just two slots ahead of you, I'm 29, you're 31, and Daniel's 25. The only reason why I could talk myself into moving him up further, again, reminding everybody we're not going to see him play, is that, and this is not reporting, this is just instincts here. I don't think the Lions went into the draft saying, you know what? Our number two need in this year's draft is a running back. But I think DeAndre Swift slipped to pick 35, and they were like, holy, like this guy, I mean, some of the most venerable draft experts thought he might have been one of the top 10 players in this class.
For sure.
And because running backs are valued differently than every other position in football, he ends up at pick 35. So that's the only reason why I'm maybe going to talk myself into that. Like, maybe they just, like, they stumbled into DeAndre Swift, and they've got a dynamic runner who can be the guy.
Right.
Closer to the start of his career than like the second or third season of his career.
Maybe, but here's the thing. You and I are both probably not getting him. His ADP right now is running back 24. You have him at 29. Ooh. I'm at 30.
Yeah.
So we're one spot apart from each other. And I hear what you're saying. But to me, there's a couple of concerns. First off, I think it's a running back by committee. Second off, understand that, again, he's a rookie coming in, no preseason games, like trying to learn the offense, like, and by the way, Kerryon Johnson's good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know he got hurt last year, but, like, it's not like Kerryon Johnson is, like, a bad football player. Kerryon Johnson's a good football player. Like, he's a good player. So it's not like all of a sudden they're like, wow, I get it. The other thing is, just to your point about draft capital, right? And I don't know how Bob Quinn approaches his draft, right? But there are some teams that are like, we draft for need. And there are some that are like, the draft isn't about this year. The draft is about next year and the year after.
Best
player available. And to your point, like, they got to pick 35, and the best player that was on their list was DeAndre Swift. So they're like, we're just going to take him because we just want as many good football players in Detroit as we can get. So my expectation here is that it's a running back by committee. And I actually think that, just pivoting here again, because we see DeAndre Swift at 24, I don't think there is nothing that indicates that it's all of a sudden going to be the DeAndre Swift show. We have no indication. It may be. But there's no indication so far, based on anything that we've seen Matt Patricia and his staff do since he's been in Detroit, based on any reports that we've seen, based on the fact that we haven't seen Kerryon Johnson be bad. Like, again, Kerry Johnson has been productive when he's been on the field.
Sure.
So I think this is a running back by committee, and I actually think Kerryon Johnson is a value this year.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, again, so Kerryon Johnson, you see there on your screen, if you're watching us live, his ADP is at 33, and I'm still a little bit lower at 36. You have him at 35. But still, like, give me Kerryon Johnson at running back 33 over DeAndre Swift at running back 24. I prefer that value.
How do you guys feel about if you wait on running back, just trying to grab both of these guys as just the Lions' backfield? Is there value there, or is it because they're both sort of flex considerations, it doesn't really give you that good feeling of like, this is one of the backfields that I'm rostering?
Yeah. I think my issue would be that if you're accepting out of the gates that you don't know how it's going to work out and that you think the most likely outcome is they're going to be a committee, well, if you're just playing, you're playing both running backs and you feel like in aggregate it could be okay but nothing special, I wonder if it might make sense to, like, if you're going to, like, if you're going to wait on running backs, I'm fine with taking one or the other, but I'm not sure I want to double down in a backfield that I, right out of the gates, I'm saying, like, I don't even know what the upside is in total.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't mind saying, like, I'm picking a horse here and I'm going with it, right? I think DeAndre Swift is so talented that eventually he takes over, or that I think Kerryon Johnson will be the guy because, again, limited practice time in COVID, and it's going to take a while for Swift to get up to speed, and he's a great value at, yep, at running back 33. I'm with you, but every roster spot is so precious this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no problem, like, if you're going zero RB, as it were, or you're waiting on running back, however you want to phrase it. And like I said, I think Kerryon Johnson's kind of an interesting value this year. Look, guys had seven career games with 17 or more carries, averages 15.8 points per game. The guy who averaged over 4.5 yards per carry when he came back from injury, looked good. I'm with you, Field. I don't mind picking a horse there. I don't think I want both guys. I wouldn't like sort of use one as insurance for the other, because I think the most likely scenario is it's a running back by committee, and they're viable flex plays, and just depends on who gets the goal line carry that game.
I think Kenny Golladay might be one of the most exciting wide receivers to watch as a vertical threat, and especially in contested catch situations, because he's one of those players, the old adage is, even when he's covered, he's open. But the question for today is whether Kenny Golladay is a top 10 wide receiver in 2020. Matthew, last year he finished as wide receiver 13, 15.5 points per game. He also was catching passes from, amongst other players, David Blau. Who else was starting games for them last year?
Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll. Thank you, Daniel, for filling in that blank for me. So back with Matthew Stafford. Does Kenny Golladay belong in that top 10 wide receivers?
Jeff Driscoll, and who is the guy the Thanksgiving guy?
David Blau, that's who I mentioned.
David Blau, okay.
Yeah, sorry, David Blau.
David Blau, Jeff Driscoll, there might have been one other spot start in there, but now Chase Daniels, your backup quarterback, so you have a much more secure spot there. Matthew, is Kenny Golladay a top 10 wide receiver this season?
By the way, you know, what's Chase Daniels? I just want to bring this up for one quick second.
The money he's made?
Chase Daniel, I believe, is making more this year than Cam Newton and Jameis Winston combined. Like, significantly more,
that's
right?
A fifth interruption.
I feel like that was an interruption of you.
Shout out his agent. Well, Eric,
I don't
Burkhart.
Know. Matt Harrington got in my ear and said that's an interruption that's going on the sheet.
And he is he's the judge, jury, and executioner.
I just want everyone at home to realize this. Matt Harrington and Field Yates are co-managers of the War Room franchise, the Irish Twins. So they're, the idea that Matt Harrington is ever going to side with me in a debate with Field Yates is asinine. I just want everyone to understand. I love Matt Harrington. He's a terrific producer. He's produced Fantasy Football Now for many, many years. He's one of the best we have at the company. Make no mistake about that. But just, I want everyone to understand, when you're reading graphics and you understand sort of the fake news of it all, just understand where the motivation is coming from at the very top of it. I just want everyone to understand that. Just, okay. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
There you go. Yeah, four interruptions. Wow. Four interruptions and an asterisk.
Wow.
That's what I'm finding on.
But back to Kenny G. Let's circle back here. Matthew,
back
is
to friend
Kenny
of the,
Golladay
friend a, of the fantasy show, Kenny Golladay.
Let's circle back there, because is Kenny Golladay a top 10 fantasy wide receiver for 2020?
I think he is. I think he's borderline.
Okay.
The concerns on Golladay is, again, he had a couple of really big plays, which sort of helped inflate his stats. And having said that, he's an insanely talented player. He's the number one wide receiver. And again, as we sort of talk about target share, right? I mean, like, and we talk about who else the Lions have to throw to, it's not a lot. I mean, you got Marvin Jones, you've got Hawkinson, you've got Amendola. But honestly, it's Kenny Golladay is going to be the number one guy. Third most end zone targets last year, 10th highest red zone target share. I mean, when they get in close, Matthew Stafford's looking for him.
Here is the biggest concern I have with Kenny Golladay,
sure,
and him being a top 10 wide receiver this year. reminder, PPR is our default scoring. Yep. And Kyle spelled this out in terms of statistics, but Kenny Golladay caught just 56.5% of his Matthew Stafford targets in 2019. For context, Marvin Jones was at 72.4%, nearly a 16% difference. Now, part of that's because Kenny Golladay is the vertical threat in this offense. And sure, whether it's whether it was Marvin Jones running deep or Kenny Golladay running deep, it's a less efficient throw every time or every yard the ball travels further down the air. That's just basic, simple football understanding. Kenny Golladay is going to be a vertical threat again, right? So there are enough players, whether they, we just rifle through the top 10 wide receivers, the top five wide receivers, Mike Thomas's and DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones, that are less vertical threats than Kenny Golladay are, where their volume just might pace them right past Kenny Golladay. So while I have him as wide receiver 7, the only concern for me is that the volume isn't substantial enough in catchable situations to make a difference in the fantasy points category as compared to some of these other wide receivers that we will talk about or have talked about already.
I think that's totally fair. I'm the lowest of the three of us on him. I have him at wide receiver 8. That's where he's going at ADP. There is some concern that he's a little bit deep ball dependent. You know who I think is a value this year, though, Field, is Marvin Jones.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Marvin Jones' ADP is wide receiver 34. I am at wide receiver 34, slightly higher than you or Daniel. But this is a guy who, Thirsty Kyle, can you look this up real quick? What was Marvin Jones under Matthew Stafford? He was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver, I believe.
Yeah, 14 in total points, 13 per game.
He was wide receiver 13 in points per game with Matthew Stafford as his quarterback. He actually finished as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. He's going as wide receiver 34.
Yeah, and he's always an end zone target for them. It's just been a hallmark of his game, as he has always been very end zone friendly.
Marvin Jones is one of those guys that you're going to draft. If you were, you know, you're on a Zoom call or whatever, you're doing your draft and you draft Marvin Jones, no one in the league is going to go like, ooh. Like when you draft like Cortland Sutton or somebody or Calvin Ridley this year, people in your league are going to go, ooh. Like no one's going to go, ooh, at Marvin Jones. Like there's nothing sexy about drafting Marvin Jones. But I'm just telling you, like, he's going to provide a profit at wide receiver 34, significantly. Again, guy was a top 15 fantasy wide receiver under Matthew Stafford last year, finished the year as a top 20 wide receiver. They added no other, we'll talk about Hockenson here in a second, but I'm not really worried about Hockenson as somebody that's going to take a significant amount of target share away from Marvin Jones.
Before you and I flap our gums about TJ Hockenson, I did want to bring Stefania back in here because TJ Hockenson is not just dealing with an injury situation right now. He dealt with one last year. Stefania, what's the latest on TJ Hockenson, both from a COVID and a 2019 perspective?
That he had an ankle injury. It was really ugly. If you remember seeing it, his ankle basically got bent backwards, and we never hear much from Detroit, right? We always talk about this. We never get much detail on the nature of the injury. But if you look at the fact that in December, he was still getting around on a scooter, meaning he wasn't putting any weight through that ankle. It was being protected. In June, he was up to running routes, but we heard that he was still not 100%. This is exactly the kind of player that when I typically go to training camps, I want to see what their activity is, right? I want to see how is he moving on that ankle? Does he look to be back to being able to make cuts and push off of it normally? We don't have that same access this year due to the COVID situation. And then there's TJ Hockenson being placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So again, we don't know whether that means he's tested positive or just been exposed to someone, but might that end up influencing how much practice time he gets? This is one to watch closely, because if I'm not seeing a lot of activity from him before the season, I'm going to be a little bit nervous about just how good he'll look when he does get into game action. And then that buildup from year one to year two, you know, we saw a great start out of the gate last year with him against Arizona, but I think that was more of an indictment about how Arizona covered tight ends than anything else, because we didn't see a performance like that the rest of the year. I think there's still a ways for him to go.
Stefania, great stuff as always. Enjoy your mansion. We'll talk to you at some point again very soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Stefania. Good job. Well done. Let's talk
See
about TJ Hockenson real quickly here. The Hawk. I'm slightly lower on him. I mean, again, you hear the health concerns here.
Yeah.
Look, we know the talent. We saw it in college, but we saw the flashes of it early on last year.
I know,
year.
But that's the part that I keep. You know how buzzworthy Noah Fant is right now?
Right, very buzzworthy.
Think about how buzzworthy he is.
Super buzzworthy.
You knew he was a much better player during their final college season? His teammate, TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, of course.
He's special. And that's the part that I keep sort of, I'm like, oh God, I hear all the warning signs from Stefania, and you're right about the target distribution. But I'm leaving a little bit of the door is slightly ajar in the event that the stardom peaks for TJ Hockenson. And next thing you know, we're talking about him as one of the great tight ends in the NFL.
Which I totally get. I feel like there's a lot of tight ends sort of in that range. Like you mentioned Noah Fant, you mentioned Hockenson. You think about like Mike Gesicki, right? Yeah. You know, the guys that could sort of emerge, like Dallas Goedert, you know, I mean, is another guy that I know they love in Philadelphia. Like there's all these sort of young tight ends that are all sort of in that 10 to 15 range, right? And tight end players that qualify the position of tight end, child. Anyway, listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. So anyway, TJ Hockenson, I think, is a tight end too with upside. It is what it is. I don't know that you would feel comfortable going into the season with him as your starter, but certainly the upside is there. Stefania's concerns, I think, are well-founded.
Yep.
Real quickly on Danny Amendola, I want to take 10 seconds here. Just like whatever. You know what I mean? On Danny Amendola. Like he's not a guy. There's no upside there. Yeah. If you need Danny Amendola production, he'll be there on the waiver wire or somebody like him.
Agreed on that.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, guys, we are going on to our Geico trivia question of the day. Okay. Kyle Soppy.
Although I have, can I quickly?
Yep. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Field.
Interrupt.
Yes.
Do we think there's one for merit?
Yeah, we better count that.
If we're going to count it for Matthew, we got to count it for Field.
Totally fine with that.
Fair.
Do we think we can, is there any way that we can consider getting like a grease board, a whiteboard? So like, should we be Jeopardy style answering these separate from each other?
That's a great question.
Because otherwise, like if Matthew gets first crack, he might influence my answer or vice versa. Something
I don't
to
think
consider for tomorrow's show.
I'm just going to tell you right now.
Kyle and I Kyle and I had this conversation. We're not worried about Matthew getting
it. Okay, Kyle, have at it.
Yeah.
I think it should go opposite like golf honors. Like whoever got it right has to go second the next day.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Okay.
That's fair.
All right.
That means I'm going to go first every single day.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
I'm working with you, Matthew. I'm giving you a shot here. No Lion running back has scored 240 points in a season during the Matthew Stafford era. I want the name of the running back with the best season under Matthew Stafford.
Best season under Matthew Stafford. Oh, God. It's been so long since they've had anyone any good.
Come on.
The best, I mean, like whatever. Sanders didn't play with Stafford. I'm trying to think, it'll be obvious. It's one of those obvious
ones.
No,
it's not. It's not obvious.
I have a guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Phil go first, though.
It's not going to be Theo Riddick, but I'll guess Theo Riddick.
Okay. I'm going to go with the pride of Wayne State, Joik Bell.
Ooh.
I don't think it's Joik Bell.
I was going to go with the pride of Virginia Tech. Kevin Jones? Virginia.
It's Kevin Jones.
32nd overall
I bet
pick?
You that's the answer.
Not a
I bet you it's Kevin Jones.
Interesting.
Final answers across the board. You are all wrong.
Whoa!
Man.
Who was it?
Oh, Reggie Bush.
2013.
Really good answer. 2013, Reggie Bush. That's a
Reggie
good one
Bush.
There from Kyle. We need to keep track of how many days none of us get it right.
And I think Kyle wins those days.
At the end of the season, we'll sort of tally it. We'll have one category of how many none of us get right, one category of each of our own correct answers.
What I'm going to need is, because you can watch the show live on Twitter.
Yeah.
What I need to do is I'm going to go on Twitter when he says that, and I just need somebody to tweet me the answer.
Stop.
I just need somebody to cheat for me.
That's so
That's what
lame.
I need.
That is so lame.
I need someone who's going to be
so
Matthew's cheater.
Lame.
I just need It's going to
be Matthew's burner account.
Yeah,
how is your burner account doing?
Has my burner account
good,
is
good
great.
Off-season of engagement
it's
or no?
Great. At Field Yates is the name of my burner account. Everyone knows
probably
this.
The best Twitter account, so you should probably follow it.
Definitely follow at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. At Cisco Golden Boy
at Cisco
on the gram.
I wonder if we got a new follower. Yes, I didn't check.
At Matthew Berry TMR on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I am merely at Matthew Berry. Download that app. It's free and it's awesome.
And subscribe to the podcast anywhere that you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, whether it's Spotify, etc. A reminder that tomorrow we move on to the second half of the NFC North, Vikings and Da Bears, two teams that certainly have some interesting and fantasy relevant names of note. I might add that maybe we should put our predictions for the teams at the back end of Double Trouble each day. We'll keep that idea in mind. A lot of fine-tuning we have going on in the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. In the meantime, as Matthew mentioned, find us all on social media and continue to be part of us every single day.
At Daniel Dopp on Twitter, at Something to Break on the Gram. Thank you to Daniel Dopp. Thank you to at Kyle Soppy ESPN on Twitter as well. Matt Harrington, Haley Burns, and the entire Fantasy Focus 06010 crew. At Stefania underscore ESPN on Twitter. At Stefania B. 87 on Instagram, I think.
2 days in a row,
you
she's
know
had the
this
guns
really
out.
Really
I mean,
well.
She has,
yeah,
I mean,
like, out guns out for Star Fania Bell.
She's doing it.
We are back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Peace out.
Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait. Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010.